Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, for many Baptists and even for many Christians of other denominations, the name Charles Stanley is a pretty well-known name. In fact, in my house growing up, we had what I call the sermon before the sermon. Because every Sunday morning, my parents would turn the TV on to the station that was playing Charles Stanley, and we would listen to his message as we got ready to go to our own church that morning. And if you hadn't heard, earlier this last week, Pastor Stanley, at the age of 90 years old, passed away. So over the years, Pastor Stanley authored numerous books. He created media broadcasts to share the gospel for the advancement of the kingdom. And in my opinion, most notably, he pastored First Baptist Church Atlanta for 49 years. I'm on year two as your pastor, so I've got 47 more to go, maybe 48 because I'm competitive. So much has been shared about Charles Stanley over the last several days, and I want to read this quote to you. Pastor Stanley was a role model for pastors, not just how to preach or how to build a church, but how to get to a finish line with integrity and be able to look back and be proud of everything that came before. And unfortunately, that's increasingly rare. And I would say that that statement is true, but I might amend that statement just a bit because I think that Pastor Stanley was more than just a role model to pastors. I think that Pastor Stanley was a role model to all believers. Because from what we've seen throughout his life is that he didn't just preach a message on how we are to live on Sunday mornings. He strived to live out that truth each and every day. So last week we launched into a new series titled Walk the Walk. And as we're going through this series, we're simply walking through the book of James. As we think about Pastor Stanley's life and the many words that he shared with us over the years, his words carried a greater weight for so many because they saw the evidence of his words at work in his life. He didn't just talk the talk, he did walk the walk. You know, his walk was a reflection of his talk. So I would just pause and ask, does your walk reflect your talk? As you look at your life, does your walk reflect your talk? When it comes to your life as a believer, when it comes to the gospel and when it comes to the scripture that you would say that you hold as truth and an authority in your life, do your actions reflect those words? Does your walk reflect your talk? And if you would say that your walk doesn't reflect your talk, then I would encourage you today to repent of that so that you can bring your actions into line with what you say you believe. So as we look at the book of James, this is really what James is calling believers to do. This is what this letter is about. James is calling believers not just to talk the talk. James is calling believers to walk the walk. So that like Charles Stanley, it could be said of us that we were able to get to the finish line with integrity and that we would be able to look back at the past and be proud of what came before. And may it be said of us here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, from now on and until the Lord returns, may it be said of us that integrity is not rare here. May it be true that we are a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. May that be more than just a word that we talk about. May it be more than just a t-shirt that we wear. May it be true of us. May it be that integrity is not rare here. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 27. James 1, 19 through 27. And as you're turning there, I want to circle back to James chapter 1, verse 1. If you remember, we talked about this verse last week. This is where James identifies himself in the introduction of the letter. And if you remember, he identified himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week I talked about how how James was actually Jesus's half-brother. And while this was a worthy earthly claim to note, James didn't identify himself at the start of the letter as Jesus's brother. Instead, he identifies himself as Jesus's servant. But this morning, I want to share another reason why this introduction of himself is significant. You see, while James is identifying himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ now, this wasn't always the case. This wasn't always the case that James was a believer. He didn't always see Jesus for who he truly was, which I can't really blame him. It would probably be hard to see your brother as the Messiah. And so we read in John chapter 7, verse 5, "For not even his brothers believed in him." There was a time in James's life that he was still an unbeliever. There was a time in James's life that he had not surrendered to Jesus as his Lord. There was a time that he knew Jesus as his brother, but he didn't know Jesus as the Lord of his own life. For not even his brothers believed in him. But something happened between John chapter 7, verse 5, and James chapter 1, verse 1, that changed the way James identified himself. There was something that happened in James's life that moved him from being an unbeliever and to a believer, that moved him from only knowing Jesus as his brother to now knowing Jesus as his Lord. So what happened? Well, following Jesus' resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples and to others over a 40-day period. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 7, these words, "Then he appeared to James." In other words, James had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And when he encountered the resurrected Jesus, it moved James from his unbelief to his belief. And when he became a believer, when he surrendered and submitted his life to Jesus, not only as his brother, but as his Lord, he received a new and a greater identity. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me pause right here and ask you this morning, have you encountered the resurrected Jesus? Have you encountered the resurrected Jesus? Now, we may not encounter the resurrected Jesus in the flesh like James and the others, other disciples did, but we can still have a very real encounter with the resurrected Jesus through the truth of his word, through prayer, and through surrender. So have you encountered the resurrected Jesus? And my prayer is that if you haven't yet encountered the resurrected Jesus, that even today as we open up God's word, as we look at the truth of his word today, that today would be the day that you have that encounter with the resurrected Jesus, and that through this encounter you move from your unbelief into belief, that you would know Jesus Christ as your Lord, and that you would receive a new and greater identity in him. So James is now a believer. James has a new identity in Christ, and his faith in Christ and his new identity is impacting how he lives. And so this letter is a call for believers to allow for our faith and for our identity in Christ to impact how we live. That we wouldn't, as Christ followers, that we wouldn't just talk the talk, but that we ourselves would walk the walk. So with that in mind, let's read our passage now. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he's religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, as we look at this passage, I think it's important for us to remember how James chapter 1 started out. At the beginning of James chapter 1, we saw last week that there are times that we're going to face various kinds of trials in this life. Even as believers, we are going to experience various trials. And then in the second half of that first section that we looked at last week, James began to talk about temptations. Because many times what happens in this life is as we face trials, and maybe even as we grow weary from facing these trials, it's easy for us to begin to be tempted. Not by God, but by our own fleshly desires. And one thing that we might be tempted to do as we are going through trials is we might be tempted to react to things in anger. We might get angry with other people. We might even get angry with God himself. But it's easy for us as we're going through a trial to react to things in anger. And so James begins the second half of chapter 1 in verses 19 and 20 by saying, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So I want to highlight those three words, slow to anger, and I want us to sit with those three words for just a few moments, because I think if we're honest, we live in a world where the cultural norm is not to be slow to anger. In fact, I would say that the cultural norm today is quite the opposite. The cultural norm is to be quick to get offended and quick to get angry. It's very common in our world for everyone to just be looking for a fight. And I would say that the sad thing is that this cultural norm to be quick to get offended and quick to get angry is not only true of unbelievers, but sadly, it's true of believers as well. And I'm just going to put this out there, but there are times when I'm on social media and I see arguments and I can't tell the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. And so James is reminding us that this shouldn't be the case. As believers, we should look different from the world. As believers, we should not be quick to get offended. We should not be quick to get angry. That may be what the world does, but we should be, as believers, we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So let me just pause and give this reminder. Our flesh is not to be our leader. Jesus is to be our Lord. All too often, we submit to our flesh, especially in times of anger, we submit to our flesh as our leader. But our flesh is not to be our leader. Jesus is to be our Lord. And if we are willing to get into the practice in times of trials or otherwise to begin submitting our flesh to Jesus instead of allowing ourselves or submitting ourselves over to our flesh, then what we will begin to see is that because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will begin to produce some of this slowness to speak, slowness to anger in our lives. Our flesh is not to be our leader. Jesus is to be our Lord. And so as we continue looking at this passage now, we're gonna see three things that we are called to do because our flesh is not our leader and because Jesus is our Lord. So first, we see that we are to rid ourselves of moral filth, sin, evil, the things that don't belong in our life as believers, we are to rid ourselves of moral filth. Let's read the first part of verse 21 again. It says, "Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent." We're to rid ourselves of moral filth. So many of us know Disney World to be the happiest place on earth, right? But you may not know that many people, after their loved one has passed away, if they've been cremated, they take their ashes to Disney World so that they can spread those ashes at the theme park. And while that may be a nice gesture for your loved one, it actually can create a problem for park goers, because when a breeze comes by, it sweeps up those particles and those ashes, and people can breathe them in and might even land on that nice juicy hot dog that you paid $35 for, right? Kind of a gross thought. So Disney World actually has a code in their employee handbook for when someone is spreading ashes. And when the employees hear that code, they jump into action with giant vacuums, high-powered vacuums. And they make sure that they go and they clean everything up, get all of those dust particles out of the air, because they don't want anything to corrupt the park's identity as the happiest place on earth. So I want you to hear me. We must go to great lengths to rid ourselves of the filth that corrupts our identity in Christ Jesus. We must go to great lengths to rid ourselves of the filth that corrupts our identity in Christ Jesus. We must not be satisfied with even a small particle of sin in our life. Being reminded of what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough, or a little yeast works through the whole dough. Now, I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that we need to rid ourselves of sin in order to be saved, right? Jesus is the one that does the saving. Jesus' work on the cross was a finished work. But if we have given our lives to Christ, if we have been saved, if Jesus is our Lord, as we recognize this new identity that we have received in Christ, then we are to rid ourselves, go to great lengths to get rid of anything in our life that would corrupt that identity that we now have in Christ Jesus. So we're to rid ourselves of moral filth. Second, we are to receive God's word with humility. Let's read the second part of verse 21 now. It says, "Humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." We are to receive God's word with humility. Now, why do we need to receive God's word with humility? Because sometimes as we look at God's word, it reveals things to us that we don't like to hear and things that we don't like to see. In fact, James goes on to say that looking into God's word is like looking into a mirror. You know, when we look into a mirror, it reveals things about ourselves. We may see some positive things, but we also may see some negative things. We may see that our hair is perfectly in the right place, just like mine is right now. But we also may see something negative. We might see that we've got food stuck in our teeth. Right? A mirror is going to reveal things to us. And I would say that mirrors are honest with us even when people aren't. So several years ago, while I was serving up at First Baptist Watauga, every Wednesday we had a homeschool co-op group that met in our church building. So our building was filled with students and parents. And there was a mom in our church that also was at this homeschool group. She was a member of our church, so she came by the office to talk to me one day. And as she was talking to me, I noticed she had just lipstick all over her front teeth. All right. Now, I didn't say anything to her about it. We just had our conversation. She left. Later in the day, she came back to me and said, "Why didn't you tell me that I had lipstick all over my teeth?" Because what had happened was she went into the bathroom at some point in the day and she saw this lipstick all over her teeth. The mirror was honest with her even though I wasn't. And God's word is the same way. When we look at God's word is honest with us even when people aren't. Hear that again. God's word is honest with us even when people aren't. When we look at God's word, it's going to reveal things to us that belong, and it's going to reveal things to us that don't belong. And when we see the things that don't belong in our life, the sin that doesn't belong in our life, the moral filth that doesn't belong in our life, that we need to rid ourselves of, our reaction may be that because we don't like what we see, right? Our reaction may be that we want to reject God's word, deny God's word, or maybe even modify God's word because we don't like what God's word has revealed to us. But I want you to hear me this morning. We are not meant to change God's word. God's word is meant to change us. We need to get that. We need to grab hold of that with humility. When our actions and our attitudes don't come in line with God's word, we don't need to bring God's word in line with our actions and attitudes. We need to bring our actions and attitudes in line with God's word. We are not meant to change God's word. God's word is meant to change us. And so James gives us two clear ways that we can receive God's word with humility. We receive God's word by hearing it and by doing it. Now understand, in the culture at that time, the law was often read out loud. Remember, people didn't have all of these personal copies of God's word for themselves. And so they would hear the law read out loud. But for us, we do have copies of God's word for ourselves. So we can hear God's word read out loud, but we can also read God's word for ourselves, something I encourage every single one of you to do. Don't only come on Sunday mornings and listen to me read God's word to you. Go home, open up God's word, study God's word for yourself. So we receive God's word by hearing it and by studying it, but James doesn't stop there because he says in verse 22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." I want you to understand, we don't fully receive God's word by hearing it or studying it. That's part of it. But we fully receive God's word when we hear it and when we put it into practice. That's when we fully receive God's word, when we hear it and when we put it into practice. And he gives us this warning. He says, if you're hearing God's word, if you're studying God's word, but you aren't applying God's word and you believe that you've received God's word, then you are lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Listen, you may feel good about yourself because you came and listened to a sermon, but if you walk out those doors and you continue to live a life completely contrary to God's word, completely contrary to what God has called us to, if you don't apply God's word, then you are lying to yourself. You have not received God's word. We fully receive God's word when we hear it and we put it in practice. It's like looking into a mirror and seeing that food in our teeth or lipstick on our teeth, and then instead of addressing that, we walk away from the mirror and we go on about our day forgetting that that was even there. We must receive God's word by hearing it, but also by putting it into practice. So we're to rid ourselves of moral filth. We're to receive God's word with humility. Finally, this morning, we are to recognize true religion. Let's read verses 26 and 27 again. It says, if anyone thinks he's religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We are to recognize true religion. We're to recognize something deeper than just going through religious motions. Remember, James's primary audience were Jews that had converted to Christianity. And so the first thing that would come to their mind as they read these words are the Pharisees that would stand in the temple and they would go through these ceremonial practices, and then they would leave the temple and they would live a life of sin. They wouldn't put it into practice. And so they were used to seeing this hypocrisy of religious motions, but their heart still being far from God. And so James says that this may have some resemblance of religion, but that's not true religion. That's not what it truly means to be a Christ follower. That's not what it looks like to live in submission to God, because true religion not only hears God's word, but it puts it into practice. And so he says, these are going to be some things that you see among true Christ followers. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. He only gives us two things here. But these are going to be some things that you see among true Christ followers. First, he says, you will see true Christ followers taking care of the vulnerable. He gives the examples of widows and orphans, those individuals that may not have anyone else taking care of them in this world. You're going to see true Christ followers with a desire to take care of them. It's part of the reason why here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, we partner with Compassion International so we can take care of children around the world that may not have others taking care of them. It's why we sent a team to South Texas Children's Home last week so that we could love on those house parents and the children that had been placed at the South Texas Children's Home. Because this isn't because we want to earn our salvation or gain some standing before God, but because we have become Christ followers, God has put a desire in our hearts through His Spirit and through His Word to walk in obedience to Him and take care of those that can't take care of themselves, to take care of the vulnerable. So true Christ followers take care of the vulnerable. But second, he says, you're going to see true Christ followers remaining unstained from the world. Now, taking care of others, that may be something that we're like, yeah, I can do this. But remaining unstained from the world, that's a harder thing at times. But we are called to remove the moral filth from our lives that we are not stained by the things of this world. So back in 2017 in Mumbai, India, citizens and officials, they became concerned when they saw bright blue dogs running around an industrial neighborhood. What had happened? Why were these dogs bright blue? Well, they discovered that the dogs had found their way through a fence around a detergent factory. And the dogs were soaking in the bright blue wastewater from that factory. You know, the dogs saw it as something that was good to hang out in, but it was wastewater and it stained them. As we think about the world that we live in, there may be times that we see some of the things of this world and we think, man, that looks good. I want to be a part of that. And so we give ourselves over to these things and we hang out in these things thinking that it's good. But all too often, the reality is what the world offers to us, it isn't worthy, it's simply waste. And as we hang out in the waste of the world, it stains us. And so James says, true Christ followers are going to remain unstained from the world. Really, this is a call for us. If we're going to be a true Christ follower, we are to turn from the things of this world that don't belong in our life, that we may not be stained by this world. So he says, true Christ follower, if you're a true Christ follower, as you're living in this world, don't be changed by this world, but get into God's word, apply God's word, and allow your life not to be changed by the world, but allow your life to be changed by His word. And this is what happens for us. As we begin to rid ourselves of moral filth, as we begin to receive God's word humbly, and as we begin to recognize true religion, not just of other people, but of ourselves, am I just going through the religious motions or am I truly a Christ follower? As we begin to recognize this in our own life and as we submit our lives to Christ, what happens is we begin not just to talk the talk, but we begin to walk the walk. But listen, before you can walk the walk, first you have to begin the walk. And in order to begin the walk, like James, you have to encounter and submit your life to the resurrected Jesus. And so I would simply ask you as we get ready to close today, do you know Jesus as your Lord? Have you submitted your life like James did to Jesus Christ as Lord? And if you haven't, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and as we sing this song, this is going to be an opportunity for you to respond today. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what? Jesus is not my Lord. I've never surrendered to Him, but today I'm ready to do that. Today I am ready to submit my life to Jesus Christ, to call upon Him as my Savior and as my Lord, to submit my life to Him. If that's you, you know, as we're talking about walking the walk, I'm going to invite you to walk down to the front this morning to join me down here. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you so that today you can know Jesus as your Lord. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but maybe as you look at your life, you would say, you know what? I've allowed for moral filth to get into my life. I've allowed for my life to become stained by the things of this world. And today, I just need to confess that and repent of that and begin walking in a faithful relationship with Jesus Christ, that I won't just talk the talk any longer, but now I'll walk the walk. Listen, if you need to recommit your life to Christ today, I would invite you to respond as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step to publicly profess Christ as Lord through baptism. But I'm ready to make that decision. We don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe that it's something God has called us to do following our salvation. And so if you've never taken that step, then I would invite you to respond as well. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that step of baptism by immersion. I know that God's calling me to make First Baptist Church Stockdale my church home. I've been visiting here and I want to connect my life with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that you need to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.